The third? Do you know what type of music they're playing tonight? Dry humor follow-up. God, I hope they're playing salsa, because I've been taking daily lessons the past 4 months, and it's the only thing I can move to. Here's what I do. I get in line and chat with people in front of me, and if they don't bite, I turn around and ask a different question to the people behind me. This is actually a good way to make friends with the people you can use as a home base when you're inside the club. Let me backtrack a bit and explain why it's important to show up early. First, girls arrive before guys. I'm sure you've been in a club where the ratio was good, and then suddenly it seems like there was a cock in your face every way you turn. Even though girls take longer than guys to get ready, guys take even longer to pre-drink. Second, you want to arrive early to settle in and pick a good spot. I have a theory about spots. I believe every spot, whether it's in a bar, club, or coffee shop, has a built-in average time until an opportunity presents itself. Let's call it the magic time, the time it takes for something to happen. For instance, a coffee shop in D.C. I liked had a magic time of about an hour, meaning if I stayed an hour, I could approach a cute girl. In my favorite D.C. bar, the magic time on the patio was about 20 minutes. In a club in Rio, the upstairs bar had a magic time of about 10 minutes because of the large turnover. Different spots in the same venue will also have different magic times, which is why it's important to find the good spot as quickly as you can. I don't care if it's next to the girls' bathroom, but find the spot women seem to be passing or congregating. Stay in a spot longer than its magic time, or else you won't be allowing nature to give you the fruit it's able to bear. Many guys make the mistake of not only bar hopping, but also spot hopping. They end up staying in a bar for an hour without having one good opportunity, because they're moving from spot to spot in less than the magic time. Another reason you want to stay put is that moving around looks bad. If you're solo and you're jumping around like a rabbit approaching girls, you'll be pegged as that guy. You'll be the club's loser, even worse than the old guy in the club. When you pick a spot and only approach girls who come around you, it won't seem like you're doing any approaches at all. To an outside spectator, it will appear that you're the one who's being approached. This is less of an issue when you're with a wingman and already have social value. But when you go out alone and have zero social value, it's best to play it cool. The downside of staying in spots is that it's hard to rack up approaches quickly. Even in crowded clubs, I average one solo approach every 15 to 20 minutes, but my standards are pretty high, early on anyway, and I don't waste time on girls who aren't what I'm looking for. While I recommended that you make friends outside the club, I don't recommend it once you're inside. Many times guys I've made friends with inside a club, especially ones who were also flying solo, mistook my kindness for weakness and cock-blocked me later. I estimate that 80% of the guys I meet inside a club are a total bust. And if you were in a casino, that would be a bet you wouldn't make. I'll be friendly, but I won't invite any guys along when I'm making my approaches. If you're going to meet a guy inside the club, it's better that he already has girls with him. If he has a desirable social circle, buy him a drink or shot after initiating small talk. It's incredible how buying a guy a $3 beer will motivate him to enthusiastically introduce you to every girl he knows. Otherwise, be hesitant about guys you talk to, besides the staff, unless you have an incredible ability to screen out idiots. As for the guys I have already met outside, I ditch them early, make a few approaches, and then find them later to joke around and shoot the shit to keep myself in a social mood. Another option to build some social proof is to get friendly with the bartender by tipping large or buying him shots. Don't try to buy his friendship, but if you build up a little rapport with him while the club was empty, you did go early, right? Some big tips thrown his way will make sure he watches out for you. Don't be cheap when you go out solo. If there's a guy who has value, let the money flow a bit. It'll come right back to you in vaginal form. Whether you make friends or not, all that's left is drinking and approaching. But be careful about drinking too much. While the first couple drinks will loosen you up, subsequent drinks will actually get you into an antisocial mood if you don't have a friend around to keep talking to you. In fact, I never pre-drink more than a beer before I go out alone. Since it takes up to 20 minutes for a single approach, I could be at a club for 3 or 4 hours to get to 10 approaches. I need to be close to the top of my game for those last attempts, and if I can consume a drink every 45 minutes, that's around 6 drinks for the night, more than enough to get and maintain a buzz. Let's say you've found a spot and you're leaning against the bar with a drink. Make slow, confident movements as if you're the owner of the club, just checking out the scene. Look at the television, sit at the bar and make small talk with the staff, or just stand like James Dean would, staring coolly off into space. As always, the first approach will be the hardest, but if you show up early, it might very well lead to success. It's better to be the first guy a girl talks to than the 10th. And even if it doesn't go well, you can buddy up with her and her friends as social proof later on. Run your normal night game. No special adjustments are needed. Don't lie if you're asked, "Where are your friends?" Simply say, "I don't have any friends." Be cool about it and don't make excuses for why you're alone. In South America, I don't remember the last time I was asked this, but in America, it may be one of the first questions a girl will hit you with. Definitely don't say things like, "My friend canceled on me at the last minute and I still wanted to go out," or "All my friends have girlfriends." That's qualifying yourself and showing that you don't have the confidence to do what you want without making excuses. If you currently feel like a loser when you go out alone, rest assured it's a self-esteem issue that will improve over time. Personally, I feel just as much like a man when I'm alone as when I'm out with my wolf pack. The truth is, I feel more confident going out alone because I'm doing what others are scared to do. I stand out because I'm not like every other guy. As long as you're a fun and interesting guy they're attracted to, it's 10 times better to be alone, doing your thing, than with a guy who lowers your social value. A couple years ago, I'd go out alone every now and then, but didn't do it very well. I didn't have a strategy and didn't manage my mood or drinking, so I preferred to go out with a random guy instead. Then I noticed those random guys were hurting my chances more than helping, so I started going out solo and picking up girls alone. And now I do far better alone than with any fly-by-night wingman I randomly met. Don't be surprised if after some experimentation you prefer going out alone than with others. 30 minutes and beyond. After you hit the 30-minute mark, take a deep breath and relax, because things are going to get easier. By then she'll be talking more, maybe more than you. Your first goal was to hook her attention and to build attraction. But now it will shift toward making her feel comfortable with you, physically and emotionally. Let her talk without interruption about the personal details of her life. Once comfort is established in addition to attraction, when she both trusts and likes you, escalating to physical intimacy will be easy and predictable. If you haven't built up attraction in the first 30 minutes, there's little chance you ever will. If she's not engaging you or asking questions after 30 minutes of displaying your personality and value, indirectly through conversation and routines, move on. A good way to build comfort and trust is to display interest in who she is as a person. Be a good listener and show that you're mildly impressed in her most significant accomplishments. But be careful about making it seem as if she has your attention for as long as she wants. Instead, give the impression that your attention can be withdrawn at any moment. A good way to do this is to break eye contact every now and then to glance briefly at something else that catches your attention. As long as you don't overdo it, she'll feel slightly insecure about being able to keep your interest, and try even harder to do so. It's okay to move into more boring topics to build comfort. You want to strike a balance between remaining mysterious and making her feel as if she knows you. You can accomplish this by revealing things about yourself in small morsels instead of large chunks. Other than increasing comfort, another purpose of sharing personal information is to find things you have in common. Finding commonality is a bonus that gives you something to talk about at length, though it's not needed to get her into bed. After 30 minutes, 3 options will open up. Getting her number, moving her to another venue where you escalate physically, or remaining at the current venue where you also escalate. Getting her number is the least desirable option because it ends the current interaction with 0 guarantee that it will continue again. Response rates, even for accomplished players, are pathetically low. If half the girls return your call, you'll be doing well. This means that more than half of your initial game work will have been a complete waste once you get her number. And even if she does call you back, there are many issues that can arise to prevent a first date from happening. The phone gives power to the girl while taking away yours, because she can analyze the costs and benefits of seeing you again, screen your calls, and determine when she wants to call you back, if at all. Because you want her to make an impulsive decision to be intimate with you, always choose to escalate the encounter as far as possible the same day you meet her. The farther you get, the higher the chance you'll see her again, because she has invested more time and energy into you. The man who goes out to get a phone number doesn't go home with more than a phone number. Since your overall goal is sex, that's what you have to think about while you're talking to a girl. You should be thinking, what do I have to do to get her into bed tonight? Even though the odds she'll have sex with you on the same day you meet her are low, and even if you may not be able to make a sincere effort if logistics prevent you from escalation, it's better to have sex on your mind because you'll constantly be open to the opportunity. If you only care about a phone number, even when a girl is giving you horny vibes, you're going to miss out on sex when the opportunity presents itself. When you train your mind to go for sex, you stay more open to its occurrence. Because sex is an impulsive decision, you must strike while the iron is hot. I used to think that if a girl wanted to sleep with me, all I had to do was sit back, take my time, and wait until sex fell into my lap. But sex with girls I liked never did fall into my lap. When I was selling my motorcycle, a young man responded to my classified ad. He came over, sized up my bike, sat on it, blipped the throttle, and thought long and hard for 15 minutes until he told me he'd buy it. He said he didn't have deposit money with him, but he'd be back in 2 days with my asking price in cash. I never heard from him again. A week later, another guy came to look at the bike. He was even more enthusiastic and told me he'd be back the next day to buy it. He was grinning from ear to ear about owning my bike, but I never heard from him either. How could those two guys have made decisions to spend thousands of dollars on something and then change their minds so easily? If guys can reverse their positions on a $3,000 purchase, imagine how much easier it is for a girl to change her mind about something like a single instance of casual sex. After a human being carries out a decision, the brain will do everything it can to rationalize that decision. If you bought a car only months before a newer, better-looking model came out, you rationalize how the older model is actually better. However, before you carry out a decision, your brain will inject doubt in order to talk you out of it. Sales pitches are designed to make you act right away, because marketers know that if you think about making a purchase too long, you won't make it. The same occurs with sex, a decision that depends on a girl's state and environment. Therefore, when a girl makes the decision to have sex with you, you must quickly capitalize on her decision before any variables change, before doubt kicks in, before a friend cockblocks you, before her ex-boyfriend calls to propose marriage, before she wonders if she's already slept with too many men for her age, or before anything else in her life distracts her. When she makes the decision to have sex with you, whether it's when she first meets you or on a later date, if you're not mentally prepared and willing to take advantage of the decision, you may let the opportunity pass forever. Knowing what I know now, I should have told the prospective buyers to go get the cash immediately, because someone else was on the way. Always push to complete the transaction, because nothing is inevitable and nothing just happens. You're the one who has to make it happen. There are going to be times when it will be impossible to escalate, even if a girl is interested in you. Maybe her friend is in a bad mood and wants to leave immediately. You're having an off night and run out of things to say, or her group of interrupting friends make it impossible to do anything. If you're in danger of stalling or the interaction is about to come to an abrupt end, settle for the consolation prize of her phone number. When you want to get her number because you've exhausted all other options, say, "I think we should hang out," or "I think we should hang out for a drink." If she gives you an excuse about being busy or not going out much, she's not interested. If she responds with something like, "Sure, that sounds good," or "We can do that," she wants to see you again. Then ask if she has a cell phone. After she says yes, pull out your cell phone, hand it to her, and say, "Why don't you put in your number?" Notice how you don't explicitly ask her for the number. It's implied and comes naturally as a result of two people wanting to see each other again. Do not give your number until you have hers. If she asks for your number, tell her you'll exchange, but if she persists in trying to get your number without giving hers, say, "Well, I'm the man, so I should call first." Sometimes you'll get a number because you think a girl is about to leave, but she ends up staying. In that case, proceed with escalation. Don't think, "I don't have to talk to her anymore tonight since I have already got her number," because the odds are that the number won't result in anything. If you're still talking to her after you got the number, you probably got it too early or should have continued escalating instead. An advanced technique is to terminate the interaction without trying to get her number. When the conversation comes to a close, say, "It was nice meeting you." You're making a bet that she'll be upset that you didn't ask her for her number, and will either offer it on her own or encourage you to get it by showing blatant interest. If she does offer her number, act reluctant, aloof, and slow, making her wonder if you're really interested. Reluctance only works if you spend a good amount of time with her, at least 30 minutes, and you're confident that her interest is strong. If I'm at a coffee shop and have only talked to a girl for 5 minutes, it's almost a certainty that she won't offer her number without being prompted. Less than half an hour isn't enough time for a guy to display the full glory of his humor, personality, and intelligence. The point of this technique is to make her invest more energy into the interaction, because the more she puts in, the less likely she'll flake out on you afterward. The key is to pull back just enough to encourage her, but not so much as she gets insecure and does nothing. Use this technique after you've gotten a few dozen numbers of experience, and when your skill at judging interest levels has become accurate. If you try this technique and she starts to turn away, stop her and get her number as you normally would. The way you get a phone number can reveal a lot about your game. For example, years ago when I first started the game and got a number, I'd go into panic mode if I couldn't find a pen, and would frantically ask strangers around me for one. By doing that, I showed that I valued her higher than myself, that her number is such a big deal that I was prepared to act like a hyper puppy dog trying to get it. It should have been the other way around, where she had to panic while trying to find a pen. Understand, if a guy she valued came through the door and all that stood between her and seeing him again was a writing instrument, she'd jump through hoops to find one. The more you act as if you have high value, such as being reluctant to get a number or find a pen, the more a girl will believe you have high value. Later, she'll put in more effort and flake less. You're simply behaving in a way that people with high value behave. Avoid getting email addresses instead of phone numbers. They are almost always a waste of time. The reason I used to get emails was because my phone game was terrible. But I ended up having to get on the phone anyway due to the low conversion rate of emails. If a girl tells you she can give you her email address instead of a number, she isn't serious about seeing you again. Just say, "Thanks anyway, but I don't do email." Sometimes when a girl gives you a number, she adds additional information aimed to lower your expectations. A common thing you'll hear is, "I have a boyfriend, so we can only be friends." You need to let her know that her attempt to steer the interaction isn't going to fly with you. Say, "Well, how about you do what you want to do and I'll do what I want to do. Hopefully it's the same thing, but if not, it's not. It's not a big deal." Let her respond, then add, "You can classify things if it makes you feel better, but I like to take things one step at a time, whether it's friendship, dating, or anything else." This sends a message that you're going to do what you want to do, regardless of what she says. When a girl drops the "I have a boyfriend" line on you, fire off a response that lets her know you don't care. Say, "That's nice," or "Good, he'll give you something to do when I'm not around," or "I just met you and you're already telling me about your problems." Then continue the conversation as if you didn't hear it. Never ask a girl whether she's single or not. If her status is important, she'll let you know on her own. No friendship. One of the greatest fears men have is being friended by a girl he likes. This happens for 3 reasons. First, he's too nice to her. He treats her better than his guy friends without expecting anything in return. He gives her rides, helps her with problems, and tolerates her flaky behavior. Second, he paints an unflattering picture of himself. He talks about his past failures and problems with women. He shares thoughts and ideas about men, women, and relationships that reflect an insecure, needy reality. Don't break down or discuss your dating or relationship problems with a girl you want to bang. Don't act like her buddy by giving advice, even if the solutions to her problems are obvious to you. When a girl asks questions like, "How long was your longest relationship?" give short, vague answers. Don't let her piece together your dating or relationship history. Finally, he gets friended because his intent is weak. You won't make out with a girl through sheer will and hope. From the moment you meet her, if you don't possess the intent to sleep with her and then perform the steps needed to accomplish that goal, you'll get nothing. Start with the vibe and an alpha male attitude, then move on to touching, kissing, and so on. Don't simply spend time with her and talk for hours, hoping something will just happen. While something may eventually happen with such a passive approach, there's also a chance that a comet will come crashing through the sky and land on your head. You wouldn't bet on that comet, so don't bet on a do-nothing approach. Dancing. An efficient way to ramp up touching is through dancing. Not only is dancing a good way to combat loud noise, but it's also excellent at allowing you to get your hands all over her body and to prime her for the kiss. If you can't dance or don't have natural rhythm, learn by copying good dancers and practicing. When you observe a dance floor, you'll be able to tell who's a good dancer and who isn't. Simply duplicate the moves of those who are good. Practice at home, and within a couple months, you'll get to a point where dancing will facilitate your pickups. You don't have to be a great dancer, just good enough to use the touching benefits that dancing offers. It will get you to a kiss faster than other means. Because of all this, dancing will be worth your time to learn. Once you get a girl on the dance floor with "Let's go dance," start off slow. When you look around the dance floor, you'll see that every guy loves to jam his crotch into a girl's ass, especially when hip-hop is playing. And while you'll be doing that eventually, hold off for a bit. Instead, dance in your own space in front of her, and continue on and off with hip touches. After a minute or two, move a little closer and put both of your hands on her hips, letting her gyrate close to your crotch as you face her. Then step back and take your hands off her. Treat dancing like a dance of its own, where you go back and forth to build toward a climax. Make her wonder why you aren't constantly on her. After a minute or so of dancing a couple feet away, gradually come back and bring her hips just a little closer than before. Then step back again. Just like with verbal conversation, you'll control the pace of the interaction. And she won't be stepping away from you because you'll be doing it first. Keep repeating this cycle until both of you are very close and your hands have explored her hips, sides, lower back, and the top of her ass. The final non-kissing move on the dance floor is to get your head close to hers, where your cheeks are barely touching. You can feel her heat, and she's not pulling back. It's not surprising that dancing commonly results in a kiss within a short amount of time. With dancing skills, you can skip verbal openers and approach right on the dance floor. The first thing you need to do is to get comfortable dancing alone in a visible spot. You're just feeling the music and having a good time by yourself, showing others that you're a fun guy who prefers not to hold up the wall. When you see a girl you like, decide if you want to approach from the front or the back. If you approach from the front, position yourself in front of her, make eye contact with a slight smile, grab her hand, and continue dancing. If you're right-handed, you'll reach out your right hand to take her left hand. Don't grab it so meekly that gravity loosens your grip, but don't give her a death squeeze either. It should be as if you're giving a handshake to a 10-year-old. You want to come across as assertive but warm. The moment of judgment comes when you grab her hand and she uses the next half second to evaluate whether she wants to dance with you or not. When approaching from the back, an approach popular at hip-hop clubs, simply rub your crotch on her ass while dancing. She'll look back to see if you're good-looking enough, or she'll have a friend look. Then either move away or continue dancing. As you can guess, the front dance approach has a higher chance of success because it's less slimy. Because the only component of your personality you can display in a dance approach is confidence, she'll be going by your looks and appearance. Therefore, dance approaches will serve you better if you're good-looking. Average guys will find better use of their approach time with verbal openers using their personalities. A girl doesn't have to make a split-second decision about whether to accept your company or not if you make a standard talking approach. Since you're being indirect and conversational, she'll give you a chance even if immediate interest isn't there. It's this chance that gives you time to plant your personality seed to translate lukewarm interest into major interest. Because dance approaches do not give you that chance, you're playing more of a numbers game than tight game skill. But it's a tool worth experimenting with. Dance approaches flip the standard approach, since you start with the physical and then move into the conversational. You'll end up using your opener well after you've already explored her body with your hands. While you're dancing, if she asks any questions at all, take that as a green light that she's interested. The first thing she'll probably ask is your name. After a few songs, suggest that she come with you to get a glass of water at the bar, where you can start conversation, just as you would if you had walked up to her. Escalating the kiss. The further you are into the interaction, the less critical it will be to have something interesting to say. You can't sustain a relationship built on always interesting conversation. If you've adopted the vibe, and you've used a couple of your best routines, you'll already have blown out 80% of all other guys she has met, based on the first 30 minutes. Your focus at this point will be on maintenance, because failure can come either from saying stupid things, acting needy, or getting cock-blocked. As long as you stay relaxed and keep doing what you're doing, your odds of success will be good. Retain the mindset that she is the one who has to prove herself, instead of the other way around. She's the one on display and being judged, not you. Besides getting a phone number, your other two options are continuing the interaction where you are at or moving to another location. Most of the time, you'll be staying in the same venue, so let's talk about that first. Since your value has already been displayed and she's interested in you, your goal will be to relax, get to know her, not say anything stupid, and most importantly, to escalate. Retain the thread strategy to keep the conversation flowing while you find commonalities and ramp up touching. You want to reach a level of rapport where it feels as if she's known you longer than she has. Your hands will be main escalation tools. We last left one of your hands resting on the side of her hip, but it should now be encroaching on the top of her ass. Don't be scared to do this. Touching is important in shortening the time it takes to get a girl in bed. So it's something you should always focus on. Even if all you can manage are subtle footsie games underneath a coffee table, it's better than nothing. Touch, and touch often. Another important touching move is hand-holding. If you're leading her to another spot in the venue, stick your hand out right next to hers and then gauge her return grasp. If it's weak, where the hold could be broken if you loosened pressure, that means she doesn't want to hold your hand yet. Let her hand go and try again later. Once she's comfortable with your touch and starts to reciprocate with some touch of her own, she's ready for the next step, the kiss. All the ways in which humans express physical affection can be placed on a line. On one end is the hug, on the other end is the penetrative sex. You've hugged many people in your life, probably some you didn't even like. But as you move down the line, you're less likely to perform intimate acts with people you dislike. Kissing on the mouth is somewhere in the middle, an act you only do with people you have an interest in, but not serious enough to warrant a lot of thinking on your analysis. It's only one step above breathing in someone's ear or rubbing noses. The faster you can kiss a girl, the better, for one simple reason, to save time. If you don't kiss her when you first meet her, you'll have to do it on the first date, since you won't be able to kiss her until the end of that date, and only after you've rebuilt the magic of the night you met, you can save yourself at least one whole date, and the money that date would cost, if you kiss the girl when you first meet. She'll also be more open to moving farther on the first date if you've already kissed beforehand. In other words, a man who didn't kiss a girl at the bar will have a second date that looks like the first date of the man who did. You may be thinking that you're moving too fast if you try to kiss her when you first meet, but you're probably moving too slow. In some foreign countries, especially in South America, it's considered strange if a guy doesn't make a move within an hour. In Venezuela, I made out with a Brazilian girl after a 30-second introduction. Granted, she was a prostitute, but I didn't know that at the time. Even in the States, many girls won't hesitate to make out with a guy they feel attracted to. 30 seconds is my record there as well. Think of kissing as a prerequisite for sex to occur. You can kiss girls and not have sex with them, but not the other way around, unless you're paying for it. Since kissing is a physical act, your kiss escalation strategy will be composed of physical moves. A girl may get aroused if you tell her a story about how you climbed a mountain to kill a bear with your bare hands, but storytelling isn't as efficient as touching. Girls will kiss almost any guy as long as they're interested and physically comfortable. No emotional connection is required. There are 4 key moves to the kiss, 2 of which you can use when you meet a girl, and 2 that come into play on the first date. They ease into the kiss so you won't surprise her in a way that may lead to an awkward moment. By using physical moves that ramp up toward the kiss, she'll have opportunities to let you know if she doesn't want to kiss you, well before you close the gap between your mouths. The first move is the staring contest, an effective technique because silent eye contact is an intimate gesture usually reserved for lovers. Introduce the staring contest in a playful way by randomly saying, "I bet you I could kill you in a staring contest." Some girls may whine that they aren't good at staring contests, but press on and tell them that you won a championship in high school. 15 seconds into the contest, take advantage of the opportunity to be playful by either falsely accusing her of blinking or complaining that your contacts or dry eye condition give her a totally unfair advantage. If you lose the first round, suggest a best out of 3. The staring contest makes her feel more comfortable with you. After the staring contest, your touching game should be well established. If you're in a bar or club, your hand will be frequently on her hip. If you're at a coffee shop, your feet may be touching under the table, and your arms or elbows may come into frequent contact. The distance between you two should be closing. Now we're going to introduce the Holy Grail touch move, the hair stroke. Perform this move after she has responded positively to most of what you've done so far, and you feel as if she's giving out mostly green lights, though a couple yellow lights are normal. First, maintain constant eye contact while she's talking, and then interrupt by saying, "Wait." Then slowly and gently brush your fingers across her temple, going behind her ear to fix her hair, even if there's nothing to fix. Then say, "I fixed your hair." While seemingly innocent, this is another intimate move that's usually reserved for lovers. After you perform the stroke, gauge her reaction. Did she make a weird face or seem as if she was creeped out? If so, she's not ready to be kissed until later, or during your next meeting, where you'll use the other 2 moves. Unfortunately, a small minority of girls have rules or objections to kissing guys the same day they meet them. If she gave you a neutral or deep look and then continued the conversation, or simply maintained eye contact without questioning what you did, she's ready to be kissed. Knowing a girl is ready to be kissed is like knowing what poker hand your opponent is playing. You play the hand in a way that maximizes your return. With a girl, you use this knowledge to amplify the sexual tension so that the kiss has more impact, which she'll attribute to you instead of your moves. First, during conversation or dancing, lock eye contact and move within about 6 inches of her face. If she's ready to be kissed, she won't move back. Continue with physical touching for the next couple of minutes by moving away and then back to this invisible 6-inch wall. Then move to within 4 inches and break eye contact at least once to glance at her lips. She'll know what this means. This is fun because you'll feel the tension building and probably get aroused. She may even close her eyes to get ready for you to kiss her. At that point, you know you can do it right then, but pull back and continue the conversation as if nothing had happened. How long you want to postpone the kiss depends on the stability of your environment. If you're in a place with lots of distractions and there's a real chance that you'll get cock-blocked, your next pass will be when you kiss. However, if you're at a quiet party or lounge, you can play the dance a bit longer for a stronger effect. Make at least one more pass by coming in close, building the tension, and then bottling it up by pulling back. On the final pass, get close enough to where your noses are about to rub, hold it for 2 seconds, wet your lips if you need to, and then make that final leap of faith onto her mouth. Rejection shouldn't be on your mind, because if a girl lets you get within a couple inches of her face, she'll accept the kiss. If you're at a non-alcoholic venue, you'll have the opportunity to perform at least one pass after the hug goodbye, where you loosen the hug but leave both of your hands resting on her hips, so you remain close to her. While this technique gives you an assurance that she's ready, it's actually overkill because she'll probably be ready well before you even do the staring contest. It mainly serves as an added benefit for building tension. A rule of thumb when it comes to kissing a girl is to see if she remains still when you get close to her face. If you're a few inches away and she doesn't move, she can be kissed, right then and there. Experiment in a way that balances speed with sexual tension. If you're talking to a girl you don't ever want to see again, go for speed. But if you want to take her out again, build as much tension as you can to blow her away when you finally do kiss her. Another way to feel out the kiss is through the cheek kiss move. It's an optional move I use if I want instant feedback on how I'm doing. To perform this move, wait for a natural break in the interaction, such as when she goes to the bathroom or to the bar for a drink. Then turn your head sideways, point to your cheek and say, "Kiss on cheek?" If she asks why or says no, it means you have to keep working on her. Her refusal may be a cause for concern, because after all, it's only a cheek kiss. If she gives you a simple cheek kiss, take that as a neutral sign that means you're on track. If she makes out with your cheek, then she's ready to make out with you. Keep the move going by asking her to give you a kiss on the other cheek. Then say, "All right, I guess I gotta give you one now." Give slow kisses to both sides of her face, and then make eye contact while you're still close. If she doesn't pull back, go for the kiss right there. There are many ways to kiss a girl, and as long as you don't ask for permission, tell her you want to kiss her, or make sudden movements, it's hard to go wrong. There are a couple kissing technique tips to keep in mind. First, you get better at kissing by copying good kissers. Kiss a lot of girls. Note what they did that felt good, and then try that on the next girl. Chances are that if it turned you on, it will turn someone else on too. Because girls are generally better kissers than guys, it's better to learn from them. Second, ramp up contact gradually. When you first start kissing a girl, don't immediately give massive amounts of tongue. As time goes on, slowly introduce more and more tongue, then some biting, and then whatever other move you want to try. Third, keep your hands moving. Kissing is a great distraction to let your hands do some exploration. Let them slowly roam her body to amplify the experience. Cup one hand on her face like you see in the movies. Run your hand over her hair and hold the back of her head as you lead the kiss. If you're sitting down, start thinking about introducing your hand to her upper thigh, rubbing it slowly. This is an important move for later. If you're reasonably certain she's not going to kiss you on the same night, for instance, if she keeps moving away when you get close, think about ending the interaction with a number before it gets stale. There's little benefit in continuing indefinitely without the possibility of physical escalation, because more things can go wrong than right. The venue change. A venue change occurs when the two of you move to another location. The advantage of moving is that it deepens your connection, because now you are together and technically on a date, though sometimes logistics can make this move hard to pull off. If she's with friends, it will be hard to get them all on board for the move, because they'll each have their own agenda. If it's late and you're already at the peak venue having a fun time, the likelihood of moving to another bar or club approaches zero. Venue changes are easier to pull when you're somewhere that serves as a warm-up spot. If you're in a small dive bar and tell the girl about a really awesome club across the street, there's a good chance she'll come. This produces a possible strategy. Start the night at a small place, hoping to venue change girls into your main venue nearby. The likelihood of a one-night stand goes up dramatically if you can squeeze in a venue change or two, because they distort time and makes her feel as if she's known you longer than she actually has. It's a strategy we'll use later with dating. There are two main ways to execute a venue change. The first is selling the venue. Tell her that you and your buddy were planning to go somewhere else, and without trying to be too convincing, imply that you think it will be better than the current venue. Example: my friend and I are thinking of going to this bar a couple blocks away. We had a lot of fun there last time, so I think it's going to be good tonight. Their music is pretty good. Keep it simple without sounding like an advertisement. If she wants to go but her friends don't, she's not going anywhere. It's not a big deal, and you can continue the conversation, since saying, "thinking of going," doesn't nail you down to leaving immediately. Still, it's a good idea to attempt a venue change only if there is a real chance of your leaving relatively soon, because staying the rest of the night will send a signal that you've altered your plans because of her. The last thing you want to do is follow her around in the hope of gaining her favor. She needs to follow your lead instead. If she doesn't go along with the venue change and you're leaving, get her phone number. The second venue change technique is selling the possibility of a good time. You'll usually use this at the end of the night, when the clubs are closing and you want to go for a one-night stand. Let the girl know that even though this place is closing, you want to continue the night somewhere else. Put on the appearance that you are still full of energy and don't want to go to bed yet. Start by saying, "Are you still trying to hang out? I mean, are you going home to sleep now, or are you trying to keep the night going? I think I can use at least one more drink." If you're with a friend, you can add how the night is important, since you two haven't hung out in a while or since you're celebrating something like a job promotion. Make it sound like this night is more special than normal. If you've recently traveled to somewhere exotic, add, "When I was in Rome, the party didn't get started until this time. It's strange that here it's the time when things end." Avoid the temptation to venue change to a place that sells food. Eating tends to dull the alcohol buzz, and it makes girls tired, especially late-night food, like pizza, gyros, or burgers. That delicious grease acts like a tranquilizer. What you want to do is steer the party to her house. Set up a smokescreen by asking a lot of questions that give the impression that you're reluctant to go to her place. Ask what type of music and alcohol she has, and if her place is nice. Say you're a little hungry and ask what type of food she has. Make it seem as if her answers are barely acceptable for your discriminating tastes. Example: "That's all you've got? Well, I guess that's okay." It's as if she wants you to come, but you're not sure if her place is good enough. Here's where it gets tricky. Without asking if you can come over, assume that she said yes, and then start to work on the transportation logistics. Ask how she got there, and then plan aloud about ways for everyone to get to her place. Say something like, "Actually, my car is a block away. I can drive." Or, "The subway stop is this way, right? How many blocks away is it?" Or, "I can flag down a taxi. Let me see if I have some cash." At this point, she may have a mini-conference with a friend, if she's still with one, to decide the issue. Stay relaxed and don't seem as if you're in a hurry. You're all just friends going to hang out at someone's place, as if it's the most natural thing in the world. Friends don't have to convince friends to hang out. If she doesn't want you to come over, she'll offer an excuse to let you know, such as her house is dirty or she has house guests. She'll never give an explicit yes. You'll have to assume, unless she makes it clear she means otherwise. If you're trying to get her to your place instead, say you have something in your house that makes continuing the fun possible. Then add a restriction that makes it seem as if you're reluctant to have her over, so it won't seem like sex is inevitable. Say, "How about you come over for a little bit? We'll listen to some good music and have a drink. Nothing too late, though, because I have to get up early. Tell her you'll get her home after an hour or so, even though you'll be going for it all once you get her into your bedroom. It took me some time to get comfortable with venue changing to a girl's place or mine. I used to think not enough trust had been established, and there was no way she'd let a strange guy she'd just met take her somewhere alone, that she saw me as a possible rapist. But that was never the case. If a girl thinks you're a murderer or a rapist, she won't spend time talking to you. When a girl declines a venue change, it's either because of bad logistics or because she doesn't want to appear to be a slut. Girls who get turned off by your one-night stand attempt are the ones who would take longer to get into bed anyway. The attempt screens out those girls who aren't serious about sex. Also, having sexual intent by using physical touching and the desire to isolate makes it clear that friendship isn't in the cards. She'll just walk away from you before settling into a friendship, which you aren't interested in. Going for sex early is win-win. If she submits to your moves, you get laid, and if not, you can move on to the next girl without wasting valuable time. Let's assume that you didn't get the venue change and got a phone number instead. You give her a hug and maybe a kiss goodbye. Then you go home and think about her before you go to bed, because she's hot, imagining how great it would be if you could get with her. You even imagine notching up your belt since she showed so much interest in you with that "don't forget to call me" goodbye. It's as if your entire life could change from meeting one girl and getting her number. Then you call her, leave a message, and never hear from her again. Ah, yes. Welcome to middle game. The most frustrating part of game. Where sure things turn out to be nothings. If you were able to venue change into her place the same night, then advance to boardwalk, because late game awaits you. Chapter 3. Middle Game. Most phone numbers will go nowhere. You're doing incredible if half the numbers you get result in a first date. That means that even when your game gets really good, you'll still get rejected and have prospects that don't convert. So step back and look at the big picture. One prospect will mean little in the grand scheme of things. The worst thing you can do is get excited over a phone number or make out, because it sets you up for frustration if the number is fake or if she doesn't call back. However, there's a difference between being a pessimist and a realist. A pessimist thinks that no girls like him, that no girl will ever call him back, and the whole game thing is a waste of time because nothing good will ever happen. Pessimistic thoughts lead to inaction. On the other hand, a realist understands that while most prospects will go nowhere, to reach the success that make the game worthwhile, he needs to endure and keep at it. A realist thinks, I'll try my best with this girl and have a good time, but I won't care or get upset if it goes nowhere, because that's how the game is. I'll get it next time. Date venues. Before you call a girl, you need to know where you're going to take her. Date venues can be separated into two categories, chill and loud. Chill venues are generally quieter and allowed for a conversation-heavy date, while loud venues have noise or action that reduces conversation. I do first dates on weekdays at chill venues because I want to strengthen the foundation with conversation, to see if a girl is worthy for a prime time slot on the weekend, where my time is more valuable and costs are higher. My chill venue spots consist of a cafe and a bar that are within walking distance of each other. Instead of a cafe, an independent coffee shop is fine, but Starbucks is too simple to be acceptable. At the cafe, I usually get a dessert such as a pastry, piece of cake, or s'more, spend 45 to 60 minutes talking, and then venue change to the real date location, a nearby bar that's quiet with few distractions. Since we know venue changes are powerful in making it seem like you've known each other for longer than you have, we're going to incorporate the technique into our first dates. Taking her to a cafe and then a bar feels like going on two dates in the same amount of time as one. If there are only bars nearby and no cafes, meet her at a mediocre bar as the first venue, and then transition to a better one as the second. If you live in an isolated area and don't have many venue options, you won't be able to do the first date venue change. While two first date venues are optimal, it's not required. Don't do restaurant dates with a girl you haven't banged. No exceptions. Dinner dates are awkward, cliche, and expensive. You don't want them in your dating life. Let the betas feed her instead. I've never understood the draw of sitting across from a girl for hours in a crowded dining area with a physical separator limiting my touching options. Don't do coffee dates either. Unless you have something planned afterward, there will be no making out in the coffee house. In the history of dating, there has never been a first kiss in the coffee shop. Coffee is a safe date for girls because they know it's a place that makes it almost impossible for guys to escalate their game. They do coffee dates for practice and attention because it's easy for them. But for you, it's a waste of time. Also, don't do movie dates, the number one worst date idea in the world. If you're going to sit next to a girl with a physical divider between you while staring at a screen in silence, you might as well take her to dinner, where you can at least talk. Always decline a girl's suggestion for dinner or a movie. Feel free to let her know that you dislike those venues because they make it hard for two people to get to know each other naturally. Once you've picked a centrally located cafe within walking distance of the second venue, you have all the information you need to contact her. Phone game. Middle game starts with the phone, a modern invention that's supposed to make it easier for two people to communicate. But it does the opposite for men, because women have taken its simple purpose and turned it into a complicated beast they use to screen men and to get attention. With the popularity of text messaging, simple and direct phone communication becomes even harder. It took me a while to master the phone because, like many other guys, I'm the type of person who prefers face-to-face communication. I don't like playing with a plastic device without being able to see facial expressions. Unfortunately, poor results with email make the phone something we can't avoid. Just like with approaching, practice is important. It's not a bad idea to get numbers of girls you're not really interested in just to get them on the phone. Because you'll be less nervous, practicing on those girls will help you gain enough confidence and skill to be competent with someone you do like. If you have zero phone game experience and the first number you get is a girl you want to impregnate, I guarantee you'll bomb spectacularly. It would be like someone doing heart surgery without ever having seen blood before. Success in neither case would be attributable to sheer luck instead of skill. The first issue in phone game is when to call or text back. I've tried everything, contacting her the same night, the next day, after 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and all the way up to 2 weeks. Accounting as best I can for variables such as interest level, sooner tends to be better. The sweet spot that's soon but isn't interpreted as needy is calling back in 2 to 4 days. If she showed interest in you, was receptive to your game, or you made out with her, contact her in 2 days. If you got lukewarm interest, try in 2 days. If she seemed cold and displayed no interest at all, but still gave her number, try 2 days. Or call in 3 days or four, but whichever number you choose, stick with it for a while before trying another length of time. You'll end up picking the number you feel most comfortable with. As of writing, I'm a big fan of 2 days. You start to have issues when you go longer than 4 days, because you risk disturbing momentum and excitement. If you take so long to hit her up that she concludes you never will, she'll be less excited when you do contact her, because mentally she will have already moved on. One exception to the 2 to 4 day rule is avoiding contacting her for the first time on a Friday or Saturday. Girls like to give the appearance that they're popular or busy, so there's a lower chance she'll respond back within a reasonable amount of time if you contact her on those 2 days. Therefore, if you meet a girl on Wednesday, contact her on Sunday. If you meet a girl on Tuesday, contact her on Thursday. Monday meets can also be dealt with by Thursday. The last logical issue is the hour to contact her for the first time. I find the best time is 8 to 9 o'clock p.m. It's a time when girls are winding down their day and doing nothing important enough to prevent them from responding in a timely manner. Your main goal with the first phone contact is to set a date. It's not to build attraction, increase rapport, or make her think you're an amazing guy. It's simply to get her to agree to a meeting. That means your phone or text conversation will be short. 3 to 10 minutes of talking or 3 to 5 text messaging cycles. First, we'll go over how to call a girl, a method that may be on its way to becoming obsolete. And then we'll discuss my text messaging strategy. If you find yourself nervous when you're about to call, chill out, because odds are she won't answer the phone. Girls very rarely answer phone calls from numbers they don't recognize, especially as they get into their 20s. Also, because she'll have a cell phone service that allows you to follow prompts to redo the voicemail you leave. There's no reason to be nervous when you call. Even if she has your number in her phone, she probably still won't answer. I firmly believe in leaving a message if she doesn't pick up the phone. This lets her know that you aren't playing phone games and see no reason why she shouldn't call back. It also forces her to put in at least a minimum amount of effort to keep the interaction going. The best voice message shows that you aren't so insecure about not getting a call back that you try to overcompensate by telling a joke or story. Keep it simple. Here's the message I leave in all situations, spoken in an upbeat tone at a relaxed pace. Hey, Melanie, it's Roosh. It's Thursday at 9 p.m. Give me a call when you get the chance. My cell phone number is 240-380-4818. A girl has made up her mind on whether she's going to call you back before you even pick up the phone. There's no message in the world that will make her girl call you back when she's already decided not to. But there are messages you can leave that can change her mind and stop her from calling you back. In the case of voice messages, boring is better. My simple voice message avoids the pitfalls of a typical bad message, like the joke or story drop, or a description that insinuates you're forgettable. Here's an example of a bad message. Hey, it's Steve, from Friday Night at the Bar, with the striped shirt, just calling to say... If she gave you her number, she's already interested, or was at the moment she gave it to you. Until you see her again in person, you can only do more to harm than good. Once you leave a message, put the phone down and occupy your mind with something else. You're expecting a call, not waiting for one. Get on with your life and don't worry if your phone has a strong enough signal or if your ringer is loud enough for you to hear it. If you're doing things that you wouldn't do if you were just expecting a call from a buddy, you need to take a step back by turning off the ringer and hiding your phone until the next morning. You're giving too much power to the girl if you eagerly await her call. It's okay if you don't answer when she calls, because she won't mind a couple back and forths on the phone. In fact, you can build that into future messaging by saying, Hey, it's Roosh again. Phone tag, you're it. It's a positive sign if she calls back within an hour. If she's going to call back at all, it's usually going to be within 3 hours. If she doesn't return your call that same night, she'll probably never call. So by hour 3, you'll know where you stand. If she calls soon after you left a message, go ahead and answer. If she calls back the next day, don't answer, and see if she gives an excuse in her voicemail. At the minimum, she can show you that she feels bad about her flaky behavior. You may be tempted to complain to her for taking extra time to call back, but don't. You can complain more after you've had sex with her, when she's more heavily invested in you. If you end up playing phone tag, take your time when it's your turn to call back. If she takes a day to call back after your first call, don't answer, and take at least an hour to return her call. You don't want to make the game worse by taking longer to respond than she did, but you also don't want to seem like you're at her beck and call while she takes her time. If you leave her a message, expect her to leave one too. I don't recommend calling girls back who don't leave a message because it shows she's not even willing to put in the same amount of effort as you are. If she's serious about seeing you, she'll assume your phone was out of service when she called and try again later, or at least send a text message. If not, you can try calling back and not leaving a message, but odds are the interaction will deteriorate from there. If she doesn't call you back, chalk up the experience as something that will make you a better player. I've tried lots of things to save a number, but all my experiments came back to the same conclusion. If she doesn't call back after your initial message, it's over. You'll be frustrated and tempted to analyze the pickup to see what you did wrong, but that's useless, because you might not have done anything wrong. Girls are fickle and change their minds for no apparent reason, so don't rack your brain trying to understand them. Not getting a call back is a normal part of the game and common with every player I've met. This is why we push for sex the same night we meet a girl. While we don't let on that we think she's going to flake, we put on an attitude that assumes the interaction will continue. We take advantage of the initial interaction when our probability of success is highest. Think of it this way. It's possible that you might have gotten sex from a girl the same night you met, who otherwise wouldn't call you back if you only settled for her phone number. Strike when the iron is hot, and the iron is hottest when you first meet. When it's time to talk on the phone, have two conversation threads ready. They're important, because silence on the phone call is even more awkward than after an approach. A good first thread is to talk about something that's recent or currently occurring. Maybe you went to a grocery store, coffee shop, movie, friend's house, happy hour, or going away party. After you exchange initial greetings, start the conversation with something like, "I just got back from..." Maybe you can joke about how you went to the gym and destroyed your chest. Maybe you just came from the coffee shop, where you read an interesting book. Maybe you just saw a cheesy movie. Maybe you just met a long-lost friend at a bar. Or maybe you just went to the store and bought an ironic t-shirt. I usually call girls when I'm about to cook. I eat late. And they often call me back while I'm cooking. I start the conversation by telling them how I'm preparing a gourmet meal from my Betty Crocker cookbook. The purpose of the initial thread is to get a nice, basic conversation started. Odds are she'll get into what she's been recently doing as well. The second thread will be a random idea, thought, or interesting question that flows naturally from your first thread. For instance, if you're talking about the gym, you can transition to a joke about how meatheads in tight shirts make you feel skinny and weak. If you're talking about a coffee shop, move on to how you're concerned about the hormones in your latte and might move to soy milk instead. If you're talking about a movie, bring up how you're thinking of subscribing to Netflix because mainstream flicks don't do it for you anymore. If you just visited your family and were talking about your brothers and sisters, say how they look up to you and how you aim to be their role model. Keep it light and fun without introducing any serious or heavy topics. You don't want to push heavy topics on the phone because she can't see your facial expressions or body language and may take your words the wrong way. Don't introduce controversial personal beliefs or say anything that conflicts with her existing image of you. The main idea is not to do anything that gives her doubts about seeing you again. Sometimes you'll come across a chatty girl who enjoys talking on the phone, which pushes the conversation's length into several minutes. Go along with the flow, but keep in mind that having a first conversation that goes beyond 10 minutes accomplishes very little. Save it for the first date instead. The more time you spend talking on the phone, the higher chance you'll say something damaging. Remember, most girls make dating a big deal and analyze everything you say with their friends to see if there was something important behind it, especially when she isn't sure about you yet. The less you say, the less she has to analyze. There's a 10% chance she'll answer when you first call. If she does answer, say, "Hey, it's Justin," and ask how she's doing. After she replies, hit her with your first conversation thread. There will be times when a girl answers your first call but realizes she doesn't want to talk to you. What she's going to do is say, "Hey, let me give you a call back. I'm doing blah, blah, blah," before 1 minute of conversation. Of course, this is bullshit because she wouldn't have answered her phone from an unknown number if she wasn't ready to talk. You will be tempted to say something like, "Oh, okay, call me back when you get the chance." Instead, just say, "All right, bye," and hang up the phone. It's over. A silence will occur after the second thread dies out. Instead of starting a new topic, say, "So what does your schedule look like during the week?" Avoid taking a stab in the dark and suggesting a time before you know her availability. After she tells you her work hours or when she has her yoga class, suggest a day and general time when she would probably be free. Say, "How about we hang out on Thursday night?" Don't give an exact time yet. If all is going well, she'll say something like, "Sounds good. Where and what time?" Suggest one of your quiet venues by saying, "How about we start at..." If she doesn't mention anything about transportation, the assumption is that you won't need to pick her up. From the position of getting back to her place or yours, you don't want her to drive, because she'll be independently mobile and less likely to carpool back with you after the date. You want her to walk, take public transportation, or have you pick her up, but don't push to pick her up first, or your sex agenda may come across too strongly. If she thinks out loud about how she's going to get there, say, "Let me know if you need a ride," which is an indirect and smooth way of making the offer. Only let her pick the venue if you have to go into her neighborhood, due to her lack of transportation. Assuming you don't know her area, ask if she knows a quiet place with comfortable seating. But if you're familiar with the neighborhood, go ahead and pick. If she doesn't like your first choice, make another suggestion. If she doesn't like that one either, tease that you've never had a first date try to take on the role of the man by picking the place before. If the date is 1 or 2 days away, suggest a time after you've settled on the place. If your date is 3 or more days away, you need a defense against getting stood up, since many things can happen within 3 or more days, including having her change her mind without bothering to let you know. In that case, you want to tell her you aren't absolutely sure of the time, but you'll call her on that day to confirm. For example, "Okay, Thursday at Moe's Cafe sounds good. I'm thinking around 8:30, but I'm not sure what time I'll get off work. Let me call you when I get out, but let's aim for around 8:30. On the day of the date, call 2 or 3 hours before the proposed time and have a quick conversation that goes something like, "Hey, how are you? I just got off work and 8:30 will work for me. See you then." If she doesn't answer her phone, leave a quick message that just asks her to call you back, without leaving any details. If she doesn't call you back, you've saved yourself from getting stood up. While getting stood up doesn't feel good, I think every guy needs to have it happen to him a couple times in order to learn about the type of girl he needs to avoid. It happens to all players, so don't get upset. Just delete her phone number and move on. If you're planning a date for only 1 day away, the flake defense move isn't necessary. For dates 2 days away, I don't use flake defense unless I get a vibe based on experience that the girl has a flaky personality. Once you've set a time and place, all that's left is showing up for the date. Text communication. Text messaging was barely on the radar when I wrote the first edition of this book. I remember calling it a waste of time. But a lot has changed since then. In fact, my current recommendation is to use text messaging instead of calling as your main way to schedule first dates. The reason is because I've had sex with girls using text messaging who wouldn't have otherwise returned my voicemail. What often happens with voicemail is that a girl may plan to call you back, but forgets or loses track of time. A day or two passes, and then she feels weird, hesitant, or nervous about picking up the phone. With text, you get responses from girls who are more shy, passive, or flaky, but still open to having sex. There's also a younger breed of girl who is raised on text and has little experience about making calls and having a normal conversation with a man. While text messaging is easier in that you'll make fewer mistakes than in a live conversation, it's far more annoying and tedious. For example, when you call a girl and leave a voice message, you often hear back in a short time and then set a date in just a few minutes.